Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 304 of NWR Connectivity. I'm your host, John Reardon, and I am joined, as I so often am, by Neil Ronahan.
Hey, everybody.
So we are going to talk just a little bit of news and then formally start up or announce, I guess, our next game club. But first, we're going to talk about Kirby a little bit. Now, if you enjoy this topic, there will be, I think there should already be, a much longer deep dive into new Kirby information on our YouTube channel. But we wanted to take a moment to just quickly kind of chat about Kirby and the Forgotten Land, because it got a release date this morning of March 25th, right?
Yep. At the tail end of March comes Kirby, which is cool. I'm super excited. Like, I think I actually literally talked on last show how my Kirby's probably coming out in March. And guess what? I was right. Although I was hoping it would come out on my birthday, which is the 18th, the week before. But dang. I'm very much excited for Kirby and the Forgotten Land. And what they showed today, you can hear me go into more detail about the nitty-gritty of it all. But it just looks fun. And it looks like it looks just different enough. I get the feeling from it that, like, people are like, it's going to be this expansive game. Like, it's still level-based.
Right.
Like, it seems like it's going to be a little bit more Super Mario 3D Land in its form than Super Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, which is fine.
Yeah.
Especially for the first, like, it's crazy to think that, I mean, outside of Air Ride, if you count that, this is the first time that Kirby has been fully 3D.
Yeah, and there's like a Blowout Blast, which was, there was a side mode in, I think, Planet Robobo, and then they released like a 3DS eShop run. It's actually one of the few Kirby mini games that came out as like 3DS eShop downloads that I haven't played.
Oh yeah, we've talked about that one before. I remember this came up last time I made the claim that Forgotten Land was the first 3D Kirby
game. Always gotta correct you.
Yep. But no, it looks good. This trailer did a lot more for, like, the first trailer. I was like, okay, all right. This trailer showing off a bit more of the game and a bit more like world variety and things like that. And from worlds that look a little bit later, so look a little bit more complicated. I'm very much interested in this game because I really like 3D platformers. I've never been as into 2D platformers, and Kirby has never clicked for me. But you put Kirby in a 3D platformer, and yeah, I'll give that a shot.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it just seems really cool. Like, we do see, I mean, as far as, like, the different world areas that we see, World 1 definitely seems to be this kind of grassland area. And then water worlds, ice worlds, an amusement park. Like, this, like, you're in the middle of Shadow of the Colossus Desert that appears to be one of the final worlds.
Yeah, that amusement park really put me in mind of Mario 3D World, because all the Bowser stages were like amusement park themed.
It does definitely feel
in that same vein.
Yeah, it gives that vibe. But I mean, I've mentioned it before, I'll be a little bit more deliberate about it, but working on a video about like six Kirby games that you should play before Forgotten Land, and it's got me thinking about Kirby just as a series.
Mm-hmm.
And how there's been a lot of ups and downs, but I think of games like Kirby Superstar and how much variety it has. And then even like the recent ones, like I think Triple Deluxe, Planet Robobo, and Star Allies is like a really solid trilogy of platformers that I feel like, just because of their placement and the fact that, like, I have a feeling 3DS is going to be, just because of how much everything has shifted over the course of 3DS, just I think that system is going to be not played as much going forward, just because now it's cartridges. Eventually that eShop is going to die, and I feel like people aren't going to go back and play it as much as, you know, they did DS or GBA. But Triple Deluxe and Robobo are just going to be kind of trapped there for a while.
I will say the emulation scene the waking dream scene for 3DS got off to it's doing very well.
Okay, good.
Big improvements there, and it honestly feels like it's like on DS. I know that like a lot of the DSiWare stuff, I think we're getting to the point now where we're starting to be able to get to some of the DSiWare stuff. Like, all of it's been ripped, but actually playing it in emulation has been tough. 3DS so far has been a lot better with like eShop stuff actually working. Now, obviously, that eShop is still live. If you want to play those games, please buy those games, because a lot of them are like indie games. But from a purely academic preservation standpoint, that stuff seems to be a bit easier to preserve and to access than some of the DS stuff has been, or at least it's progressing quicker than the DS stuff did, which is great, but pay for those games.
Yeah, because it's going to take largely like Nintendo deciding to like do a virtual console for 3DS, which, I mean, I think that would be years away.
Would be difficult.
Yeah, and it would be hard because it's not even the same as the DS, which they did do on Wii U, and like that, the emulation that they did for that actually worked out pretty well, just because of the design of the system.
The Wii U was in a very unique position to run DS games. They should go back and put a 3DS emulator on Wii U.
Yeah, because like that's the thing is unless they do a two screen system, that it's not going to look as good. And what are you going to do? Like have the 3DS display on your TV?
Like, yeah,
yeah. Can't you wait to play upscaled 4K. Kid Icarus Uprising.
I will say that was a hell of a waking dream. That game mapped to a controller, like Sakurai said you totally couldn't, is amazing.
I love that game. But once again, I feel like it's kind of stuck on 3DS.
Yes. Yeah. Port that game to Switch. You know what? You can keep weird touch controls in handheld. That's fine. But port that game to Switch or make another one or something, because that game is downright incredible.
3DS is a great system. Good Kirby games there.
It is. Yep.
But yeah, Kirby and the Forgotten Land. Like, super excited for it. Definitely, you know, at least for this first part of the year. I think I'm more excited for that than I am Triangle Strategy, which is Nintendo's other release in March, which I have a feeling, like, we'll probably get another demo of that, because that seems to be, like, the...
They love demos for those games.
Yeah, Bravely Default 2, and even, like, Bravely Default, years ago, got a demo, and so did Octopath, which is the more direct connection to Triangle Strategy. But we did get that Project Triangle Strategy demo, it was 2 years ago, because that game was announced...
Was it really?
I think that... Or was that game, like, this time last year?
I mean, it's been a while.
I think it was this time last year.
Okay, I'd be upset if it were that long ago.
I think it might have been early 2021, now that I think about it.
Let's see, February 2021, yep. Yeah, okay, so very early.
So a year ago. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if in February 2022, we get a demo for Triangle Strategy, that, you know, early part of the game, you can play it and have your save data carry over on when that one comes out on March 4th. I'll probably play Triangle Strategy, but Kirby's definitely the one I'm more jazzed for.
I am vaguely tempted by Triangle Strategy, because like I do like those like tactical RPGs I have a bit more interest in than like straight up turn-based JRPGs.
Yeah.
And those games are just so pretty to look at. I might get it cheap at some point down the road. But next up, our formal, and after much debate on what the next game club should be, because we had a great time with the Metroid one, and I think a lot of you did too, we have decided that our next game club will be 3D Zelda games. We actually announced this several times in the last episode, or Neil did.
I did.
But Alex edited them all out because we weren't ready yet. But yeah, Neil, do you want to run through kind of our preliminary schedule? We'll have more details.
You'll later be able to check out NintendoWorldReport.com, and we'll definitely give you the heads up here as well if you want to play along. But if you do want to play along, and if you've played The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, replaying it in the next month and a half seems pretty realistic. It's weird. It's a game that I think when I last replayed it, it took me like 15 hours. Whereas probably the first time I played it, it was like 30 or 40.
It's a game, once you know where you need to go, the first time through, there's a lot of like wandering around trying to find out what you need to do next.
Ocarina of Time, that's going to be, it's the first 3D Zelda game. So we're going to aim to probably talk about that on the show in late February. So that'll hopefully give you time. We'll kind of announce a specific date later on. Majora's Mask will be after that. The goal for that is going to be to record something probably or have something go up in early to mid-April, a little bit of a tighter turnaround. Ocarina of Majora's are probably the two shortest games overall for the 3D Zelda games. Wind Waker would be next. We're going to be aiming to do that episode in mid-June. Twilight Princess would be after that. That'll be, you know, talking about that sometime in mid-August. And we will also 100% be covering Link's crossbow training during the Twilight Absolutely. Princess episode. Because that is awesome. And Wind Waker, we could probably also talk about Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks. You know, a little
we gotta save something, because we'll probably, I mean, you know, we're gonna come back and do a 2D Zelda game club at some point.
Yeah, so. Probably. But I feel like, I mean, Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks are just that weird thing where they kind of go between two worlds, because it would say they are more connected.
Like, would you say they're like a link between worlds? Which we, I guess, I would say, by that same logic.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, technically 3D graphics in a 2D world.
Yeah.
But because, like, Phantom Hourglass is a direct sequel to Wind Waker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so the fact that they're connected like that, whereas typically, like, the 2D Zelda games, I mean, outside of, you know, some characters introduced in Ocarina of Time showing up in Oracle games, like, they're kind of their own thing.
Yeah.
Even if they're in the wider Zelda timeline.
Yeah. We should specifically do a Capcom 2D Zelda game club.
Yeah, just talking about the Oracle games and Minish Cap.
Yeah.
And then did Flagship also do Four Swords? I think they might have helped out with the Link to the Past GBA port.
You keep giving the schedule and I'll look that up.
But yeah, so Twilight Princess, going to do that in mid-August. Then we're going to have a tighter timeline for Skyward Sword, even though that game is very long, but it also did come out last year, so I mean, I'm probably not going to replay it when we get to that point, but we'll be talking about Skyward Sword in September, and then Breath of the Wild, we will talk about sometime in November, and a little bit of optimism that maybe Breath of the Wild 2 will be coming out around the same time, and we might kind of tweak that, like, I would think that Breath of the Wild 2 would be a big holiday game, but maybe it's, like, coming out in October or something, so maybe we'll kind of have that to go up. Maybe alter on the fly, but that's going to be our loose schedule for playing through 3D Zelda games. We'll have something in the Discord channel go up probably before this episode airs, and then something on NintendoWorldReport.com. So go hang out, talk about 3D Zelda games, play along. If you don't want to play along and just want to, like, BS about, you know, the Running Man in Ocarina of Time or Big Goron's sword or the mask guy.
Neil is really thinking hard to try to pull out some Zelda references.
Wind Waker, we can talk about how I wrote a loopy, like, blog post years ago about how Ganondorf was representing the developers at Nintendo who wanted Zelda to go in new directions but knew that 3D Zeldas were just going to be the same shit for the foreseeable future.
Oh, I remember that. That article came up when we were talking about, around when Breath of the Wild came out, we got talking about that article, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because guess what? That Ganondorf got his way, and Nintendo did finally do something breaking free of the shackles of their 3D Zelda formula.
Oh, and according to our website, Capcom is listed as a developer on Four Swords.
Yeah, and that was an era where we were much better at updating that.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a very nice game profile.
Yeah, yeah. It was a different era.
Different, yeah. Better director.
But so going into this, we talked about potentially laying out what our current ranking of 3D Zelda games is and see if it changes along the ways.
Yeah, which you would have thought that we might have thought about in advance, but I don't know about you, but I have put zero thought into this before this exact moment.
I mean, this specific time, and because it's something that I feel like my 3D Zelda rankings kind of tweak a lot. Or at least, like, I kind of have different tiers. I feel like Breath of the Wild is in a tier all of its own.
I agree. It's really hard to place that game.
Yeah, like, not it is not, it might not be my number one. I don't know what day of the week it is right now.
Yeah,
it could be, but I don't think it's, like, hands down, like, the best Zelda game ever. It's just, it's really hard to compare it to all the others.
I almost feel like Breath of the Wild might, if you list all the 3D Zelda games, I feel like Breath of the Wild might be the best video game of all of those, but I don't know that it feels like the best Zelda game.
Yeah,
like. Yeah, it's just because it's not, most of Breath of the Wild's a lot of Breath of the Wild's flaws for me are how not a Zelda game it is. Like, it's a really good game.
Yeah, but... like, it's a great game, but like, it's definitely, like, a better video game than it is a Zelda game.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think we agree on that.
Yeah. So, and I feel like if I were to think about it right now, I think Breath of the Wild would be number one. But it could be on another day, it might be three or four. I would say my next tier is Wind Waker and Majora's Mask. That's one where you could ask me, you know, every other day of the week, and I would be like, I like that one more, or I like the other one more. Which is weird, because for both games, my early memories of them are being disinterested or disappointed. Because Majora's Mask, yeah, the time limit freaked me out.
I get that.
I realized that in Pikmin.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
That and Pikmin, I didn't really play a lot of both of them. Pikmin, I wound up getting through sooner than I did Majora's Mask. I actually did not play Majora's Mask to completion until the 3DS, and in that, I 100%ed it and fell in love with that game. And that was definitely during an era where I did not 100% that many games.
Yeah. Majora's Mask, I will say, has the... It does what I think Pikmin 3 does very well, which is it gives you a time limit, but you always have the ability to extend it.
Yeah.
Which that was why Pikmin 3 is the best Pikmin game, is it's like they found a way to like have this stressor, but not have me be like, oh my God, it's all going to fall apart if I don't do this in just enough time. Cause yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's stressful.
Yeah. There's the balance about like trying to do things as efficient as possible versus worrying about like your run ending at any moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, Majora's Mask was a game like I tried playing on N64, it just never really clicked with me until the 3DS version, and then it completely blew me away when that came out, and like I love that game based off of that playthrough. And Wind Waker is one that I got to the Triforce Hunt, and back, you know, when it came out in 2003, and got to the Triforce Hunt, was like, this is nonsense, like, screw this game, like, how disappointing. Eventually did get through it, but just didn't enjoy that part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know I played it on a Wii. I do not know the exact time, probably like 2008, 2009. I replayed it and was like, oh wait, no, like this is great. Like it's the exploration is more on display in Wind Waker. And by that same token, I think that was the moment where, not that I like retroactively disliked Twilight Princess, but definitely where it fell in standing for me. Because I think Skyward Sword and Ocarina would be my next tier, and then Twilight Princess at the bottom, but not really not a dislike thing. Like, I think Twilight Princess is very good. It's just oops, all dungeons.
Yeah, and I don't know that the dungeons are as good as like Skyward Swords are.
Yeah, especially going through Skyward Sword. Those dungeons are incredible.
Skyward Sword's dungeons are... Like, if we were just ranking 3D Zelda dungeons, which is a feature that we totally actually have a ranking for that we never produced, then Skyward Sword would
very
win.
Difficult thing to do, just it's, because it requires...
Yeah, it was... Yeah, we were really optimistic on it until we realized we needed footage of, like, every Zelda dungeon, which required playing through every Zelda game.
And,
yeah,
like, late game... And it's not like we're, like, you know, the Forest Temple and Twilight Princess is our favorite. Like, no, it's usually the late game stuff.
No, it is late game dungeons. Yeah.
But yeah, Skyward Sword. Yeah, we found out by doing that, though, that, like, half of the Skyward Sword dungeons were in our top 10 or something like that.
Yeah, like, they're incredible.
It was bonkers.
Yeah.
But Twilight Princess is still a really fun game. It's just that, you know, it goes for... I don't even want to say like gritty. It's a very... I just have a memory of it being very gray.
Yeah, it's...
It's hard for like the Twilight stuff. Like, it's not... I don't... Once again, I really like Twilight Princess. Like, it's a very enjoyable game. Playing through that, you know, launch week, launch month of the Wii was thrilling. But it's definitely not one that I think about that often.
Yeah. Yeah, let me go... Is that all of them? Did you...
Yeah. So okay. I'll say my current ranking as of this moment in mid January is number 6 Twilight Princess, number 5 Ocarina of Time, number 4 Skyward Sword, number 3 Majora's Mask, number 2 Wind Waker, number 1 Breath of the Wild.
Okay.
And I if you were to ask me tomorrow, it would be a little different.
And where would you put Link's Crossbow Training?
Link's crossbow training would probably go right above Twilight Princess. I don't think I would put it above Ocarina.
I would agree that it's objectively better than Twilight Princess.
I would put we did talk about how, you know, we might talk about Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks because I feel like they're very connected to Wind Waker. If we were to, for some reason, allow them into this list, it would be Spirit Tracks or the Phantom Hourglass, probably after Twilight Princess.
Yeah, I should replay those. I remember not being super into Phantom Hourglass, but like Spirit Tracks, I didn't play until way later, and I remember just being blown away by it.
Yeah, because it basically, like, Phantom Hourglass was a neat idea that I felt just wasn't executed that well, down from the controls to the Temple of the Ocean King. And then Spirit Tracks is basically like, all right, like the touchscreen controls work a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And the Temple of the Ocean King thing doesn't suck.
Though I still don't feel like either of them ever convinced me that the motion controls were necessary.
Agreed.
And like, I mean, you guys know me, like I'm down for weird controls, but like, I need you to convince me that like that this game wouldn't work as well on buttons. And I don't think either of the DS Zelda games would work any worse on buttons. Like, sure, use the touchscreen for the boomerang, but like, let me make Link walk with the D-pad. Would it be that bad?
Yeah, no, I agree. Definitely from that era of Nintendo's like, we did this touchscreen, this motion control stuff. We need to make it work.
Yeah, we invested in it. I do like making notes on maps and things like that.
Yeah,
great.
The closing the DS and opening it back up, legendary.
Yeah, like that. I forgot about that when you had to like imprint stuff on the map from the top screen.
How do you do that on the Wii U?
I don't know. Is there something on the menu to register that? If you've played either of those games on Wii U and you know how to do that, send an email to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. Unless Neil's looking it up right now.
There's a video. I'm going to watch this video.
Okay. Report back when you when you finish the video. Meanwhile, I think so. I'll go through my ranking while you're figuring that out. My number one, I think, would have to be Majora's Mask. And that's partially because I think that it, I honestly think it does a fairly open design, which I think is good for Zelda, but keeps it more like Zelda than Breath of the Wild did. It's also a game that I played for the, and I told this story before on the show, but I played that game for the first time 1 year when I like had the flu and had a really bad fever. So I was like kind of delirious and playing Majora's Mask, which is just a weird fever dream of a game anyway. And it just, that game just embedded itself in my brain. And I am now very attached to it. Second would either be Wind Waker or Breath of the Wild, if I'm including Breath of the Wild in this list. It's probably Breath of the Wild I would put above Wind Waker.
I agree with that.
Yeah, once again, I feel like Breath of the Wild is about as much of a Zelda game as Link's Crossbow Training is. So it's sort of, maybe Breath of the Wild should go on the same list as Link's Crossbow Training.
Yeah, so Breath of the Wild 1, then Link's Crossbow Training 2.
Right, they're games that are simultaneously better than any other Zelda game, despite not really being much of a Zelda game. Second, Breath of the Wild. Third, Wind Waker. And I'm surprised, Neil, by how much we actually agree on our rankings.
I have no complaints because it is, I think Wind Waker, just that I've liked it longer is more why I think I put it just a little bit higher, but it is an any day of the week thing because it's just Wind Waker's vibe. I just like the art, the visuals, the sound. There's not as many dungeons. There's like a lot of the sailing, you know, in the GameCube version, it's a little too slow.
Sure.
And then how there's only one thing per tile, but like, I kind of like the rhythm of that. It's a very fun game to play.
Yeah. And it's definitely working within like the speed of your boat is probably, I think it's true that it's like exactly how fast the GameCube can load the islands.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. There's a reason that's how fast your boat can go.
And the story stuff in Wind Waker. Oh.
Oh, yeah. The story of Wind Waker is incredible. And I will say, I think all three of those games, Majora's Mask, Wind Waker, and Breath of the Wild, are the three Zelda games where exploration is so much of the focus. And I know, yeah. like, every time I say this, because I know Matt listens to the show and it's probably screaming at me right now. Every time I say this, Matt needs to point out to me that, like, for the first half of Wind Waker, you can't actually explore. And if you try, the boat will tell you to go yeah. the right way, which is fair.
It's just a very long tutorial.
But it feels like you're exploring, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because it also does build to a point where it opens up in a way that its contemporaries, like Ocarina of Time and Twilight Princess, like, never do as effectively. Even Majora's Mask. I mean, Majora's Mask exploration is in, it's not of a wide area, it's of a, you know, a very dense area.
Yes, yeah. And I will, like, Wind Waker, I mean, that's arguably kind of the best defense of the Triforce Hunt, is that it is essentially telling you, okay, you know the map, now go yeah. explore it, go find yeah. this stuff, you're free to go anywhere, good luck.
And that's what I think, just the little tweaks that they made in the HD version,
yes,
like, completely fixed my problem with
yeah.
the Triforce
yeah Hunt. Objectively the best version of the game for sure.
Yeah.
After Wind Waker, I'd probably agree Ocarina of Time and then Twilight Princess. And I think Twilight Princess is good, but I don't blame Nintendo for this, because, like, it was a good marketing reaction to, you have to remember that people didn't like Wind Waker when it came out. Like, Twilight Princess is very much Ocarina of Time 2. They had done two games following Ocarina of Time that were weird and different, and then they made Ocarina of Time 2, which is, like, fine, but
like, I don't need new Coke.
I've already played that one, and it, as someone who is, like, super into Wind Waker and Majora's Mask, it was like, oh, we're going back. And, like, yeah, it's cool that it was, like, rated T, and, like, I get it. Like, that was edgy, and that was a different time in gaming.
Neat. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like the story. They definitely try in Twilight Princess to be like, what if we did a, like Twilight Princess at times feels like it's trying to be an open world.
But it
feels like they just took the map and were like, all right, now scale it up about 50%. Don't mm-hmm. add anything to it. Just make it longer to get places.
But even like I remember, like, the horseback fight, like, that stuff mm-hmm. was really cool. And it happens twice. Like,
yeah.
You're like, is this going to happen? And then, I mean, you do really see, for some of what Breath of the Wild does so well with kind of those battles that you come across, like, I can see the argument being made that Twilight Princess was really what might be the closest analog to what Breath of the Wild wound up doing.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot Skyward Sword. Skyward Sword is... I don't know if it's above or below Ocarina. That depends on the day.
And just, but the it's in there somewhere. I had Skyward above Ocarina. Because actually...
Okay, I'll put it below Ocarina, just to be different.
That's what I had. I had it.
Damn it. Okay, it's above Ocarina then.
Okay.
I've always felt that way beginning. You know what? It's tied with Ocarina. There you go.
I think my thing is, I've been playing Ocarina a little bit. Started it before we decided to do the 3D game club, but wound up picking up a backup man. I'm about to get in Jabu Jabu's belly.
Mm-hmm.
But Ocarina's really old.
Yes.
And I feel like the last time that I played that game was on the 3DS, so maybe I should just switch over to playing the 3DS version as opposed to the N64 version on Nintendo Switch Online. But, like, I do remember when I played the 3DS version when it came out in 2011, so over a decade ago.
Jeez.
When I played that game, I was on the 3DS version, I was like, this actually, like, really holds up well. Like, it's definitely mm-hmm. it has aged a little bit, but, like, it doesn't really feel like it's from 1998. playing the N64 version on Switch, this game definitely feels like it's from 1998.
It's
specifically still a 3D game in 1998. It's still very good. Like, once again, all of these 3D Zelda games, I think, are good. But that's why I think Ocarina of Time slipped for me right now, whereas Skyward Sword, after playing the HD version last year and being reminded of how, for the flaws that that game has, like, when it's good, it's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, and I could almost, like, I know a lot of people's complaints about Skyward Sword is it's how linear it is and going back to do altered versions of old levels. I could kind of hear an argument for the same thing we've said about Breath of the Wild, where it doesn't quite feel like regular Zelda. But that being said, I think it still is an excellent game.
Yeah.
And it's definitely closer to Zelda than Breath of the Wild is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's where I put it. So I expected us to be like, to have things to debate, but then we just gave essentially the same list.
Yeah, just argue about it, but we're kumbaya.
We need a, who's somebody on the staff that probably has like a really different Zelda ranking from us?
Justin.
We need to get Justin on and give his Zelda ranking.
Yeah, to talk about Breath of the Wild.
Oh, God.
But yeah, send in if you want to send in anything about 3D Zelda games and kind of from a general perspective, or if you want to start sending in stuff about Ocarina of Time, email us connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com.
We will have a Discord channel opened for this probably by the time the episode goes up.
Yep.
So you can, in fact, some of you might find out about it from seeing the Discord before the episode even goes up, because we don't plan these things ahead. No. There is a cat on my desk. Okay, goodbye, cat.
Bye, cat.
Well, all right. I think we're going to keep it a little bit shorter this week because we did just record like a 20-minute thing on Kirby just prior to doing this. So check that out.
Go check it out on the YouTube.
On Nintendo World Report TV. If you, for some reason, listen to this podcast and don't subscribe to our YouTube channel, that's a bold, weird move you've made. Because if you like hearing us talk, we do it over there, too. So go check that out. If you are listening to this in a format where you can review it, that'd be a cool thing that you could do. You can, like we said, send any emails on Zelda or anything else to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. You can follow us on Twitter at ConnectivityNWR. And is there anything else I need to say?
I know. No, I think that's it. I think we'll figure out what we're going to talk about next week.
I mean, you never know. There could be like a Nintendo Direct any second. When does Arceus come out? We could talk about that. Nintendo, I need you to do something. We're in the period of the year where Nintendo doesn't do anything and it's very quiet. We're just waiting for a beginning of the year Direct to happen at any second. We're in a holding pattern. So
maybe you'll figure out some kind of topic. Maybe get a guest. That old chestnut.
Get a guest. Yeah, we'll get Justin on to give his rankings next week, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye.